I want something very specific from you today, to give something very specific today, and that's your heart, your heart. I want you to give your heart to the Lord. Why don't we pray together and ask God to speak to us today. Ask God to help you to give your heart to Him, to do those things that would please Him. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. This morning when we can gather in church, and Lord, this is an important day for us. Lord, I ask you please to speak to us, convict us. Help us, Lord, to have yielded hearts and surrendered hearts that would let you have control and let you have your way in life. Help us to realize, Lord, that our life is really yours. If we're saved, it ought to belong to you. And help us to give our life and give our heart, Lord, to please you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9, and we're also going to look at John chapter 4 as well. Matthew chapter 9 and John chapter number 4. Matthew 9 first, and we'll look at verses 36 to verse 38. The Bible says here, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now let's look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse number 35. John 4 and verse 35, it says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Let's read that verse one more time together. And why don't you, if you will, would you read it with me? If you're reading from an English Bible, you'll be able to do so. But let's read it together, okay, would you? John 4 and verse 35. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Let's try it one more time, okay? Give it a little bit more oomph if you would, okay? John 4:35 together. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes." Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Jesus was telling them the harvest is very great. The fields are ready to be harvested, and there's a big job to be done. And it's a job that requires workers. It's a job that requires laborers. You can't gather the harvest from a field without there being workers, without there being laborers. And we need Christians to do so. Christians need to get busy about gathering the harvest. Christians need to get busy about doing the Lord's work. We need to gather the harvest. We need Christians, this Bible verse reminds us, to open up our eyes. We need to look beyond ourselves to a world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Christians that will lift up their eyes and look on the fields that are white already unto harvest. We need Christians who will open up their eyes and see people the way that God sees people. The way that God views people, souls that never die. Eternal souls. Souls of men and women and boys and girls that will spend eternity somewhere, either with Christ or without Christ. We need Christians to see that their co-workers and their neighbors and their relatives and their friends have a never-dying soul that will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. In John chapter 4 here in verse 35, Jesus is telling us that we should not just sit back and say it's okay. It's okay. I don't need to be concerned about this right now. It's not that important to me right now. There's time. You know, there's no rush. The Bible says, "Say not ye, there yet 4 months." You know, it's not time for us to sit back and say, "Well, we can worry about it later." You know, Jesus hasn't come back yet. He's not coming back, you know. No worries. I'm busy. I got things to do. And when I get around to it, when I have time, then I'll participate in this thing called the harvest. He's telling us not to just say, you know, it can be put off. There's time to wait. There's lots of time. There's no rush. It's not that important. I'll worry about it later. Christ was telling them, no, you don't have time to wait. You don't have time to wait. You don't have time to just put it off. You know, the Bible refers to us reaching people with the gospel as being a spiritual harvest. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Listen, there is a harvest that needs to be gathered for the Lord. There are souls that need to be saved. There's a harvest that God wants us to reap. Jesus said to his disciples in John 4:35, "That the fields are white already unto harvest." What that means is that it was really past the time that the harvest should have taken place. The fields are white already, and we'll talk more about that today. He was saying, listen, there's time to gather the harvest, but there's not much time. We must get busy. Christ wanted them to realize that it was an emergency. It was urgent. It was important. Every day that was wasted, some of the harvest was lost. Every week that they sat back and did nothing, some of the harvest died. Every week that they stayed home and didn't participate, more of the harvest died. Do we understand that every single second, many souls in this world are dying, slipping into eternity? Do we understand how many souls slip into eternity every minute? Thousands. Every minute of life, there are thousands of souls that slip into eternity. Listen, the souls of men and women and boys and girls are important to God. Every week that we don't go soul winning, people die without Christ. Every week that we refuse to give to send missionaries around the world, people die without ever having heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was trying to tell the disciples that the situation in that day, that it was an emergency. It was an emergency. Now listen, if it was an emergency in that day, how much more is it an emergency today? We live in a world where there's over 7 billion people. Over 7 billion people, and the need is an emergency today. Half of this world's population has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They tell us that there's over 6,500 different spoken languages in the world. And that over 4,500 of them don't have a copy of the Word of God. They don't have the Bible in their own language. Can you imagine that? No Bible. No Word of God. Nothing to read to tell them about God's love. Nothing to read to tell them about God's plan. Listen, there is a world that needs the Word of God, that needs Jesus Christ. I want to answer two questions for us this morning. Number one, why is it an emergency? Why is it an emergency? And the second question we'll answer later, does it really matter? The first question this morning, why is it an emergency? A few points if you're writing them down. Number one, it's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. You know what? If the Queen of England was coming to Richmond Hill, people would go to a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort to prepare for her coming. If the Queen was coming through, you know, when the Prime Minister is coming through, when royalty and you know, people that have some high up position or this or that, when they're coming through, when they're coming for a special thing, boy, people prepare. And money is spent and a grand preparation is made because there's someone important that is coming back or coming to our place. We need to remember something far more important, that the King of Kings is coming. Listen, Jesus Christ is coming. John chapter 9 and verse 4 and 5 tells us this: "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Listen, Christ is coming back again. And we need to be busy about the work of the Lord until He returns. The Bible says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I haven't left this world yet. You haven't left this world yet. If you had left it, we wouldn't see you here this morning. Right? You're still in this world. Christ said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Well, we're to be the light of Christ as well. And you're still in the world this morning, and you're still in the world today. And as long as you're here, as long as God has left you here, as long as He hasn't returned, as long as He hasn't taken you home to heaven, then there's still work for us to do. Jesus Christ, we understand, He could come back at any moment. He could come back at any time. We don't know when that's going to be, but we must be busy doing the work of the Lord. I tell you this morning, it is an emergency. It's an emergency. The Bible says in Matthew 24:44, "Therefore be also ready, For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We don't know. We don't know when He's coming back. But the Bible says we're to be ready. We're to be ready at any time for the coming of the Lord. We're to be ready for His return. Listen, I don't want to be found when He comes back not being busy doing His work, not serving the Lord, not living for the Lord in my life. Listen, how disappointing I think Christ would be, and how disappointed I think we would be if Christ returns and we've not been living for Him. Why is it an emergency this morning? Why is this thing of the harvest? Why is the need of the world? Why is it an emergency this morning? Number one, because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. What if the rapture takes place and it's up to us? It's up to this generation. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to our children to help reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want it to be that all, just so many people were neglected. So many nations were neglected. So many people never got the gospel. They never got the word of God in their own language. They never heard about Christ. That'd be shame on us. It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. Number two, it's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. It's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. You know, people are not getting closer to God. They're getting further away from God. They're not getting closer to God. There's materialism in our world that so many times just draws people. We're drawn to things and money and pleasure and entertainment and self. There's a covetousness everywhere that abounds. So many times we become more and more materialistic, and as we do so, people less and less see their need for God. There's humanism, there's atheism, there's sin, there's many times an apathy among Christians. The Bible tells us this in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verses 4 and 5 of that chapter says, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That describes our world. That even sadly many times describes Christianity, where people are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Where they would rather go to their golf game, or rather go to that baseball game, or rather do this or that, or rather go to the park, or rather do this than to come to church. They'd rather watch television than to read their Bible. Listen, many times we're lovers of pleasure more than we are lovers of God. The Bible says, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We have a world that is full of Christian, and sadly many times we have Christians that are full of the world. Dear members of Gospel Light Baptist Church, we're supposed to be different from the world. We're supposed to be a shining light in a dark world. Our lives are supposed to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. People ought to see Christ in our lives. We live in a generation where people many times love pleasure and love self more than they love God. People would many times rather do what they want to do than do what God wants. Or they'd rather fit in with the world than to fit in with the Bible. Christian people many times will reject what the Bible teaches. May I say the reason for that is because we don't fear God like we should. Many times Christians have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. We don't want to do what the Bible says because we don't fear God like we should. We're denying the power thereof. Christians will go to places where they want to go without any concern about their testimony. Why? Because we don't fear God like we should. People will put things into their body or do things that, whatever they want to do, with total disregard to the fact that the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. Why? Because we have a form of godliness, but many times we deny the power thereof. Listen, our world is headed in the wrong direction, and Christianity is headed in the wrong direction. We need a generation of Christians that will fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man, the Bible tells us. Listen, will we fear God? Will we love God? Will we do what He wants us to do? We need some people that will be more interested in pleasing God than in pleasing man. We need some Christians that will say, though I may live in this world, I'm not going to live of this world. I'm not going to live of this world. We need Christians that will measure their life according to the Bible rather than according to the world. Listen, we have an emergency on our hands. The world is dying without Jesus Christ. And many times the world looks to Christianity and they don't even see a difference. They don't see something that is worth having. They look and they see that Christians many times are not much different than they are. And they, why do I want that? Listen, the world needs to see Christ in our lives. It's an emergency because we're headed in the wrong direction. You know, most churches are not doing more for God than they used to. They're doing less. Most churches are not doing more for world missions. They're doing less. Most churches are not doing more to evangelize the world. They're doing less. Most churches are not doing more to win souls and be a witness for Christ. They're doing less. Most Christians are not taking a greater stand for Christ. They're standing less. Most churches are not adding more programs to reach the lost. They're really, many times, doing less. Most churches are not reaching more than they used to reach. They're reaching less. Listen, it's an emergency. We're headed in the wrong direction. The population of the world just continues to grow, but it seems like we're falling, we're failing. We're falling back in this goal of reaching the world. Listen, we're headed in the wrong direction. Not all, but many are doing less for God than what they used to. I pray to God that we'll have people in this church that will realize it's an emergency. I pray that our church will realize the condition of our city. It is an emergency. The situation of our world, it is an emergency. People need the Lord Jesus Christ. People need the Savior. But listen, the world is lost and without hope, and they need Jesus. We have the answer. We have the truth. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. We have the only hope that this world needs. We have the only hope to the ends of the earth. We must be the light of the world. We must be a witness for Jesus Christ. We must be soul winners. We must reach the world with the gospel. We must send out missionaries. Listen, we need to go to our city and go to the world and reach the world. Tell them of God's love. We must do more for Christ. Why is it an emergency this morning? What's the big deal? Why is it an emergency? Number one, it's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. And we need to be preparing. We need to be busy working and preparing because our Lord is coming back. Number two, it's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. Listen, number three, it's an emergency because the need is so great. The need is just so great. It's so enormous. It can be so overwhelming. But listen, the need is great. The Bible tells us that the field is the world. The harvest field is the world. It's a big world. It's a little world at times, but yet it's a big world. And there's so many people. Over 7 billion people in this world. But God has commanded us to spread the gospel to the world. Listen, God will not command us to do something that's impossible. It may be hard for us to fathom 7 billion people. 7 billion people. Can you picture that many people? It's hard to do, right? I have been before in crowds of, 1,000 people or 5,000 people or 7,000 people. I've been in arenas before, maybe with 20,000 people or a stadium with 50,000 people. And so I can picture that in my mind, what that looks like. But 7 billion people? That's hard to fathom and hard to understand. How can we reach 7 billion people? But you know what we can understand? We can all understand the meaning of one. We can all understand the meaning of just one person. Do you know that if just one Christian would win one other person to Christ this year, and they would teach that person and disciple that person, they'd reach that person. Do you know how many? It's okay. Do you know how many people we'd be the next year? How many people are we now? Two people. Listen. If that one person would care enough about the lost to go, and I'm going to reach one person, and I'm going to love them, and I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to reach just one person. If one person rejects you, I'll keep going. I'll find that one person. I'm going to keep sharing the gospel until I find that one person who wants the Lord Jesus Christ, who's ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to win them to Christ, and I'm going to disciple them, and I'm going to help them, and I'm going to get them in church, and I'm going to show them how to get baptized and follow the Lord, and I'm going to help them also learn to become a witness for Christ. We can become two. You know, if the next year, if each of us would go and reach one more person, if we would just go and find one more person, and we would reach that one person, and we would go and we'd share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would teach them and train them, and we would baptize an unwilling
convert, eh? And we would win them to Christ and share with them the gospel and love them and get them in church and help them to get baptized and help them to grow in the Lord. How many people do we got the next year?
Four, you good.
Hey, and then the next year, you know what we're all going to do? We're going to go reach another person. Go find another person, Ephraim. There's some ladies over there that look like they need Christ. All right, and we're going to go reach another person. And the next year, we're going to bring them to the Lord. And we're going to share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to bring them to Sunday school. And we're going to love them. And we're going to have coffee with them at Tim Hortons. And we're going to open the Bible and study with them and disciple them and help them to grow in Christ. How many are we going to have the next year? Eight. And then you know what we're going to do the next year? Now we've got eight people with a burden to go reach somebody else. And we're going to go and we're going to find someone. And we're going to teach them about Jesus Christ. And we're going to share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm going to care for the Korean folks in my town. And the Chinese folks in my town. And the Persian folks in my town. And the Russian folks in my town. And the Jamaican folks in my town. And I'm going to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep going, Ephraim. And we're going to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? It's going to keep on growing. Let's go reach another person. Would you do that? The next year, let's go find another person. Go find another sinner. Go find the biggest sinner that you can find. Go look for the biggest sinner you can find. Will you be my convert? Would you like the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? He'll make such a difference. He'll save your soul. He'll change your life. And if we go reach another person, do you see what's happening? Do you see what's happening? If you will go and reach someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, Janine, if you'll get them baptized, if you'll get them in Sunday school, if you'll share with them the Lord, if you'll disciple them, if you'll help, we can keep growing and growing and reaching this world with the gospel. It's not as hard as we think. It's not as complicated as we think. Just one person at a time. Just one person every year. And we can reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can be done. It is doable. God doesn't ask us to do something that we can't do. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Do you understand? You go get them next year. Okay. Do you understand it's doable? Do you know that we can reach this whole world for Jesus Christ in about 34 years? 34 years. Now I understand some people reject. Some people won't want Christ. But we could certainly have given the gospel to this whole world. If we would just get some Christians who would be passionate about realizing, listen, it is doable. The world is reachable. We can give our lives. We can go with the gospel. We can take the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. We can take salvation to the ends of the earth. This world can be reached for Christ. But I've got to do what God wants me to do. I've got to go with the gospel. I've got to help reach the world for Jesus Christ. It's an emergency because the need is so very, very great. Over half of the world has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Why? Why is that? Listen, they need us to go. They need us to go. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't even know the truth, but they put us to shame. They're willing to go. They're willing to invest their money. They'll give their life. They'll give a portion of their life. Some of them will give their entire life. But they're willing to go. They're willing to propagate what they have. It's not even true what they have. We who have the truth, we who have the Lord Jesus Christ, we can sit back at ease. We can sit back and say, oh, there are yet 4 months. It's not that important. I'm busy taking care of some important things, you know. I'm busy with my life. I've got to do this. I've got my career. I've got my bills and I've got my debts and I've got all these things and I've got my mortgage to pay for. I can't go. I can't afford to give. I can't take time for that. Listen, sometimes our lives get so wrapped up in things and so wrapped up in self and so wrapped up in this world that we're failing to do what the Lord wants us to do, what the Lord needs us to do to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, it is an emergency because the need is so very, very great. Why is it an emergency? It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. Who's going to reach them? Who's going to reach them? Number two, it's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. It's an emergency, number three, because the need is so very, very great.
Number four, it's an emergency because it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. Life and death. Life and death. In John chapter 3 and verse number 15, the Bible says this, "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal what? Life." Have eternal life. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 10, 27 and 28 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Ezekiel 18, 20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Revelation 21, 8 says that the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal what? Life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It is a matter of life and death. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting what? Life." Life, it's a matter of life and death. 1 John 5 and verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Life. It's an emergency because it's a matter of life and death. People's eternal destiny is hanging in the balance, and we need to realize it's an emergency. We must get busy. We must be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We need to support our church's outreach. We need to help send missionaries around the world. We can't put it off. We can't delay. We can't just say, "Oh, there's yet 4 months. Oh, I'm too tired. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too busy. I'm too sick. I'm too ugly." You know, whatever. No. We can't say there's yet 4 months. We can't say, "Oh, well, I'll get around to it one day. Or when I can afford to do so. Or when I have more time to do so." No, we've got to make it a priority. Listen, the urgency of the emergency ought to produce fervency. We need to open up our eyes and we need to look beyond ourselves to a world that needs Jesus Christ. We need to open up our eyes and see people the way that God sees people. It's life and death. It's life and death. Why is it an emergency that we reach the world with the gospel? I said, number one, it's an emergency because we could be the last generation. We could be the last generation before Christ returns. Number two, it's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. The wrong direction. Number three, it's an emergency because the need is so great. It's so great, over 7 billion people, but it's reachable. It's doable. We'd be consumed with reaching that one person. Reaching your neighbor. Reaching your sister. Reaching your coworker. Reaching that person, just maybe it's even someone you don't know right now, but reaching a person in our town. Giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ and loving them and helping them to grow. Some of you might say it's an emergency. Who cares? It's an emergency, but who really cares? I'll tell you who cares. God does. God cares. God cares. The second question that I told you I would answer is this. Does it really matter? Does it really matter what we do? Does it matter what you do? Yes, it does. It does matter. I'll tell you this. It matters to God. It matters to God. The need of this world, it is an emergency. The need of lost souls, it is an emergency. Does it matter? Yes, it does. It matters to God. It matters to God. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God doesn't want people to be lost. God doesn't want people to die and go to hell. He cares about the world. He loves the lost. He loves those that have gone astray. He loves those that are just living in their sin or living for self. He wants them to know Jesus Christ in their life. He wants them to be saved. It matters to God. It matters to God. Secondly, it matters because each soul is precious. It matters because each soul is precious to God. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke 15, verses 7 and 10, Brother Abraham, if you'll help me. Luke 15, verses 7 to 10, it says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Come over here, Brother Abraham, sorry. There is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. There's joy. Now, if we could let you all represent the angels this morning in heaven, okay? And just for sad sake of illustration, we're God the Father and God the Son. And that's poor example, maybe. But listen, you're the angels. You know what the Bible says? There's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. You know what happens every time a sinner gets saved? You know what happens every time a lost soul hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and they bow their knee or they bow their hearts and they pray and they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe on Him and they get saved. Woo! There's a party in heaven. God the Father and God the Son, they're up there in heaven. Woohoo! Yeah! Get a little more excited. Yeah! Woo! And they're excited and they're high-fiving up in heaven. Woo! And I think God the Father, yeah, and God the Father and God the Son, hey, they're excited. They're rejoicing. Do you know why? Because the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, just became a little bit more worthwhile, if I can say that. The Son's, dear be the Son, okay? The Son's willingness to have left heaven and go down to earth. The Son's willingness to have gone and died on the cross for sinners. The Son's willingness to hang on that cross. Hey, it just became a little bit more worthwhile. Hey, another precious sinner got saved. Another precious soul got saved. Another one that I love. Another one that I created. Another one that I made. Another one that you died for. Oh, another one just got saved. Woo-hoo! There's rejoicing. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, no. It matters. It matters to God. It matters because each soul is very, very precious to God. Let me say a third thought there. It matters to each one that you could reach. It matters to each one that you could reach. Does it matter? Yes, it matters to God. And it matters because each soul is precious to God. And thirdly, it matters to each one that God could use you to reach. The Bible says in James 5 and verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. There was a boy that was walking along a sandy beach at the seashore. And as he walked along, the boy was reaching down and he was picking up some of those starfish that had washed up onto the sand. And he was taking the starfish and he was throwing them back out into the ocean. Try to rescue them, try to save their life, keep them from dying. There was an old man that saw what he was doing and he said to the boy, son, you're never going to be able to save them all. The little boy was quiet. He just listened and thought about that, but he kept walking along that beach of the shore. And he found another starfish and he picked it up and he tossed it back up into the ocean. And he turned around and he looked at that old man and he said, No, sir, I may not be able to save them all, but it made a difference to that one. It made a difference to that one. Listen, does it matter? Yes, it does. And it matters to each soul that you could reach. Each one that God could use you to reach. Does it matter what we do? Does it matter if we get involved? Does it matter if we become witnesses for Christ or not? Does it matter if we get involved in missions? Does it matter if we give to send missionaries? Yes, it does. Because it matters to God, and it matters because souls are precious to God, and it matters to each one that could be reached by our involvement, by our effort. It matters what you do. It matters what you do. Listen, it's an emergency. It's an emergency. We've got to take salvation to the end of the earth. We've got to send the good news to the end of the earth. We've got to take the good news in our community. Listen, we've got to reach our world. I've talked with my wife sometimes about our town and how, you know, we've lived here long enough that we see our town changing, and some of you do too. I pray that you won't be one of those who leave our town. Brother Edwards, I pray that you won't move from our town. Our town's going to begin to change. And I really do. And it's going to change. It's going to be different. The population is going to be different. The demographics are going to be different. But you know what? There's going to be people that need to be reached for Christ. God has allowed us to be here. Those people are going to need the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to need a church that will be a witness. They're going to need a church that will get out the gospel. Listen, this world needs churches and Christians that will send out missionaries or people that will be willing to go as missionaries. Does it matter? Yes, it does. It's an emergency.